Way. John chapter 4, we're going to get into a story here that I hope is very, very familiar to most of you. It's the woman that met Jesus at the well. You remember the story? Raise your hand. Okay. The woman that met Jesus at the well, it is an interesting thing. I want to talk to you this morning on how to get rid of your past. Got some things in your past you wish you'd not had done? Got some things in your past that still bother you? I got news for you. You can get rid of them. Not by going to the psychiatrist, not by going to the medical doctor, but you can if you get to Jesus. Amen. Here we have the story in John chapter 4. It says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus had made and baptized more disciples than John, he left Judea," down in verse 3, "departing again to Galilee." Then it says, "He must needs go through Samaria." He made a detour. He traveled through Samaria. "And he cometh to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour," getting to be about noon, "then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou being a Jew askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Got to know who the Samaritans were. They were what were called half-breed Jews. They had a stigma on them from the regular Jews because they were what were called mixed breeds. And they were looked down on. Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knowest the gift of God and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, give me this water that I may thirst not, neither come hither to draw." Jesus saith unto her, "Go call thy husband and come hither." And the woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus saith unto her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. And he whom they now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." Now I'm going to stop in this point of it. We may refer to some of the other verses a little bit later. But we have a woman coming. She's coming at noon. Now, here's why she came at noon. She was a fallen woman. Five husbands, living with a man that was not her husband. She didn't want to show up at the well when the other women to get water. She had a guilt complex. She had a past. She had that she feared for the others to mock and to criticize. And she didn't want to come when they come. And then of all things, she comes to the well and she sees a Jew, Jesus, sitting on the well. Now, the Jew was critical of the Samaritans. And she probably thought, he's going to really blast me, or maybe not speak to me at all, but it was still that time of day that she had to come. So we can learn from the story. We can learn, number one, the encounter was planned. Jesus let his disciples go on into the city, but he went purposely that way. He was where he was on purpose. He knew the woman was coming. So this encounter, this time with her alone, he had already planned it. It wasn't what she expected. And you know, to many today, you might come to church, you might know some Christian people, and you say, well, all they want to do is criticize. No, No, the Lord may have planned an encounter for you to be even in his house today, invited by folks to come. This is an encounter for you today. Just Jesus was at Jacob's well, and the woman came, and she might have thought this is an accidental meeting, but it wasn't. Jesus had planned that encounter. And her past was brought up. She knew her past. Here in verse 18, the Lord said, you told the truth. You don't have a husband now, but you had five. And the one you're living with now is not your husband. Now, let me say this. Ladies, lest we get too critical, she was probably a pretty lady, at least when she started out. I want to say something to you. Ladies, always being pretty is not an asset. Sometimes it's a danger. Amen. You got an evil world out there, and if a lady is very attractive, she's probably going to have more bad guys coming after her than ever before. And the truth of the matter is, that's not always the best thing. Some of you girls, oh, I wish I was as beautiful as so-and-so. Do y'all know that Marilyn Monroe was first seen in a restaurant and some guy supposedly discovered her and she got into Hollywood and all? She might have been a very clean, innocent girl and had a lot better life if she'd have never met that bum. Help yourself. Truth. This girl was probably pretty. She might have looked pretty good. I don't know. But she had five husbands. She must have looked pretty good. She got them. Amen. I remember the old maid saying she heard that so-and-so's third husband had died and she'd had him cremated. She said, that's not fair. She's got husbands to burn and I can't get a one. Now, truth of the matter is sometimes what you wish for might be the worst thing you could have. I don't know about this woman that showed up at the well, except what the Bible says. I suspect she started off as a young lady, and probably in her guilty past and the bad things that had happened, she probably went to bed at night thinking, if I'd have never gone wrong in the first place, if I'd have never met that bad guy to start with. Maybe she woke up in the morning thinking about how I've ruined my life and wishing that she could go back. I don't know. She had a past that was probably tormenting her. And she's going to the well by herself because she don't want it brought up. She don't want the embarrassment. She don't want the shame of the other women meeting her at the well. I want to tell you, folks in sin would love to get out of it. They'd love to clean up that past. They'd love to get away from it where it wouldn't torture them no more. You talk to any barkeeper, and you'll find out they hear more junk than any psychiatrist ever hears. From the ones sitting on the bar stools, lamenting and whining and complaining and hurting about their past. Any barkeeper can tell you that because it torments them. It's not what they wanted. They'd like to get out of it. They'd like for it to be cleaned up. I want you to listen close this morning because I want to tell you there is a way to get away from the past. There is a way to get rid of it. And we got it right here in this story. Yeah, the past was brought up. It had to be faced. In verse 17 here, the Lord said, you don't have a husband now, but you've had five. And you're living with a man that's not your husband. Not your husband. You see, you can't cover up sin. You can think you have, but it'll always come back. It'll always come back. The Bible says, whosoever tries to cover his sin shall not prosper. But he that confesseth it and forsaketh it shall have mercy. And I don't know about you. Have you ever had anything in your past you couldn't get rid of? I remember when my brother and I killed the neighbor's cat. And of course, we were in trouble, so we wanted to get rid of the evidence. So we took the cat out into a dry grass field to burn it. We burned the field, but the cat didn't burn. The evidence was still there. I'm sure he could tell you about it. And then the neighbors knew. And then our parents knew. And then the whole neighborhood knew because they had to turn out to fight the fire that we lit in the dry field. It's hard to get rid of sin. You can't cover it up. It'll pop right back up. It'll get you. It'll point you out. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. That don't mean it'll just be discovered. It means it'll get a hold of you and push you out front to where it's recognized. It'll find you out. It'll find you out. Now, the past was brought up here to the woman. She couldn't cover it up. She couldn't get away from it. Jesus revealed it to her. He already knew. Folks, do you understand? God already knows. He knows. He knows it all. Why do you think deep inside your very being it hurts? Because God makes it hurt. How come I can't forget that? God don't want you to forget that. He wants you to find a way to get rid of it. And there's only one way. When Jesus came, he was that way. He was the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way to have peace. He's the way to have victory. He's the way to get rid of the devil's tools that he torments you with. This woman's past was brought up here. Jesus revealed it. And here's what I like about it, though, folks. Her past was wiped clean. I've heard all kind of stuff about all, you know, all the politicians and everybody fussing and fighting over what was left on the computers and all that business. It is amazing. I understand back in the election when Hillary was running, they asked her, had she cleaned her computers? And she said, you mean like with a rag? Some stuff she'd like to get rid of. I want to tell you, we got computers inside much bigger, much more thorough, and more impossible to clean than the ones we see mechanical today. You can't clean it because God knows all about it. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. He knows about it. And here, how'd she get it cleaned? How'd she get it done away with? Look at it here in verse 29, you'll see. In verse 29, we didn't read it, but you can see it here in the chapter. She came down to the village after the Lord had talked to her and told her about the living water. And she said in verse 29, she went down to the village where the men were. The men knew her reputation. The men probably were some of her customers, so to speak. But she went down to them. She wasn't ashamed to go down there. She had discovered the victory in Christ, and she comes in verse 29 and says, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She found out who Jesus was. She found out who the Christ was, who the Messiah was. And she said to him, are you a prophet? She realized something unusual here. This man knows all about my past. And the good news was that she believed on him as Savior and got her past cleaned up. You know, when you get Jesus, you get it all. You don't only get the future. You get the past taken care of. Do you understand that most of what bothers us in the present is our past? Right. If you can get peace about your past, you can live the present in such a way that you enjoy and look forward to the future instead of fearing it. And the truth is here, Jesus is the answer to that. Now, Jesus is the one that gave her a new start, a new past. Now, she went down to the village, and Jesus said to the disciples when they came back with the food, they said, you had any lunch? You had anything to eat? He said, I have that to eat that you know not of. What was he talking about? He was talking about the fact this woman had believed on him and had her past cleaned up and her future sealed. And he was rejoicing over what he'd been able to do for one. I want to say the good news today is Jesus has not yet quit looking at one. I don't know about you today, but Jesus does. I don't know your feelings today. I know what mine were. I remember a time when I desired, Lord, if I could just be born again, if I could just start over and do a better job. That's before I knew Jesus. It was a desire in my heart, and I didn't know it was possible. And then one day I went in a church building like this and heard a preacher like I'm preaching this morning, and he told me about Jesus. And Jesus took care of my past. He's given me a great present and a better future. That's what I have in Jesus Christ. That's why I've been spending all my time since then trying to tell others he's your answer. He's your answer to a clear conscience. He's your answer to having peace. He's your answer to having someone to live inside of you and give you strength and help you make the right decisions and get away from the sins and problems that's been dragging you down. This morning, I say to you, somebody's phone's going off. The devil don't you to hear what I'm saying right now. Listen to it close. Turn the thing off. Listen to it close. Jesus is your answer. Somebody don't want you to know that. Guess who somebody is that don't want you to know it? The same one that tricked you and got you into trouble to start with. Old timer said he's old Slewfoot, the devil. Picture the devil with a calf's hoof. You saw what they were talking about. The devil. He'd like to steal every word this preacher's saying to you. God had a rendezvous set for you this morning, an encounter, just like he did the woman at the well. He wanted you to hear what you're hearing and tell you how to get rid of your past, that you'd have a great future ahead. Amen. Sad truth is today, you've been hit from every angle with the devil's attack, with his brainwashing, with his lies. And if you're not careful, you'll miss this encounter with Jesus. But he's the one. He's God's son that came to this sin-cursed world, took your sin and my sin on him, and died on the cross to pay a price we couldn't pay. And this woman discovered him as Savior. When she did, she went down to the village and she invited all the men. And Jesus looked, and as they were coming up the hill, the whole village, at one woman's word, he looked and he said to his disciples, "You say 4 months to harvest. I say to you the harvest. The harvest is already white. Already white under harvest. What was the white? Those men wore turbans on their head. And to see that crowd coming up the mountainside to Jacob's well, Jesus said, "You see, the harvest is already white. Already white." He was talking about that whole group. He started with one. Before she got through witnessing, a whole village was getting saved. Now I want to say to you, the Lord is interested in you this morning as one. And if you've been saved, no telling what your testimony could do to reach others. But today I want you to understand, don't miss it. If God brought you here to hear that Jesus could wipe out your past, I tell you the truth, he can not only wipe it out before God, he can help you forget it. He can help you get over it. He can give you peace about it. The story is told that the great old Protestant reformer, Martin Luther, was asleep one night and dreamed that he woke up. And at the foot of the bed stood Satan. And Satan had a long scroll of paper in his hand. And as Martin looked up, Satan said, Martin, you think your sins are not going to catch up with you? Well, Martin, I've got them all written down here, a great number of them. What do you say to that, Martin? No, Martin Luther said, I looked at Satan and said, right at the bottom, right down, totally forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I want to say to you, that's what Jesus can do for you this morning. Every bad word you ever spoke, every bad thought you ever had, every evil act you ever committed, every person you hurt, everything you'd like to take back, like to redo, but you can't. Jesus can give you a brand new start, make a new person out of you if you let him. This woman unashamedly confessed Jesus as her Savior, confessed it to the whole town, to the men that knew her, and she knew they did, but she was a new woman now. She drank from fresh water. She would never thirst again. She knew the answer. She was a new creature in Christ. That's exactly what he offers you this morning. In the hymn book, we didn't sing it this morning, but in the hymn book, there's a song that you recognize the title of, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. How sweet the sound, Amazing Grace. That song was written by a man by the name of John Newton. John Newton, as a young man, ran away from home. He got on a slave ship. And all the dirt and sin, he stayed on that slave ship. He learned all the bad things and done all the bad things. He got miserable on the ship, had an evil captain. One day, John jumped overside to commit suicide, to drown. That evil captain had him shoot him with a harpoon like they would a whale and reel him back in, speared him. Somehow John lived through that, but in his degradation and sin, he got so low that a slave woman bought him herself as her slave. And John said she wouldn't even let him sit at the table to eat. She threw his food like a dog on the floor for him to eat. But one day, down in the brig, down in the prison of the ship, John said, in all my miserable condition, and all I thought about my past, and then he said, I went back till I was a young kid, back to where I was clean, before I ever got into all the great ugly sin and dirt I got into. I went all the way back in my mind till I was at my mother's knee and she was teaching me to memorize some verses and to sing some Christian songs. And he said, I remembered those songs. And I remembered that the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. And there in the hull of that prison of that ship, John Newton called on the Lord Jesus Christ to be his Savior. He experienced being saved in the new birth. And by God's grace, he got home. And the day come, and I've been over there at the place, the church that he pastored, where he wrote, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. A wretch like me. And I want to say to you today, you might feel like you're in the bottom of the belly of the ship, that your sin has drug you down, that there's no way to ever get free of it. If you'll come receive Jesus Christ as Savior, he'll clean you, forgive you, and take care of your past. It'll never, ever condemn you before God. It's something that you can get free of if you'll come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I did one day. People all around you did. Testimonies all over this building how that Jesus can clean you up and give you a future and give you a peace about it. This morning we're going to sing a song. You in God's house, you've heard God's man, God's book. On the authority of God's book, his word, I invite you to do what the woman at the well did. Confess Jesus Christ as your Savior. Would you do that this morning? Would you bow your heads with me? Heads bowed and Christians praying in the building. Let me ask you this. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you've received him as Savior, unashamedly, would you raise your hand right now? I'm looking, God's looking. Nobody else, our heads are bowed. Have you done it? Have you done it? Do you know it for sure? Do you know it for sure? Would you slip that hand up? All right, let's put them down. I'm going to pray. And just before I pray, I'm going to ask you, would you do this? Would you say, preacher, I would love to get my past forgiven. I would love to have a clean start. I would love to pillow my head tonight and not have to think about the things I've done that I wish I had not done. And preacher, before you pray, think about me. I do need to come to the Lord Jesus. I'm looking and God is looking. I'm going to ask you before I pray, and I will have you in mind as I pray. I won't call your name, but I will have you in mind. Would you slip that hand up, and by that hand you say, preacher, I understand what you were saying. I understand the Bible. I understand I can have a new start in Jesus. And preacher, pray for me. I need that new start.
I need that forgiveness. I need that past taken care of. Would you slip that hand up right now? Would you do it? Would you do it? Thank you. Thank you. Are there others? Others, just slip it up in the back, in the balcony. Would you just slip that hand up? Thank you, and you, and over here on the left. Thank you. Let's stand quietly. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, I've done all that I can do this morning as your preacher. I've told the story again, and what a great story here in the Bible of the woman that was stigmatized by her society, by her neighbors, by her friends. What a past she had, Lord, an awful thing. Nobody else could help her. But we've read the story again, how Jesus forgave her and gave her a new start, how she confessed him as Savior. Now, Father, you offer that same choice that she made to us right here this moment. And Father, I pray for these that have lifted their hand, did not let this moment, this encounter planned by you, to slip by them. But Father, as we sing and invite them to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray they'd do it this morning. Thank you, Father, for the day I did. Thank you for the day I have so many out here. We needed that past forgiven. We needed our name written in heaven, and you gave us that in Jesus Christ that paid all the sin debt we owed on the cross of Calvary. We thank you for that. But right now, we ask your strength and your grace for others, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. Will you come? Will you meet me here and say, Preacher, I had my hand up. You had me in mind when you prayed, and right this moment, I need Jesus. Will you come? Come on as we sing, please.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
As we sing, will you come? A moment, and I ask Christians to pray, because very likely somebody else is in the building, maybe not far from you, that's fighting the battle to come to the Lord Jesus and let him be their Savior. They know they need him. They like nothing better than a new start, and that's what he gives you, folks, when you come. Not only gives you a new start, but he gives you a power within to make the right choices for him until he comes for you. As a preacher, I've had people come to me through the years, and I find out after talking with them a while, they're in torment. They have no peace. They're in torment because of the past and things they've done that still haunt them, asleep and awake. And I've had the privilege so many times through the years of showing folks there is one, only one, that can cleanse you, that can forgive you, that can give you a new start. I remember as a teenage boy being in a lot of trouble and standing in front of my mother not wanting her to know it. And I remember thinking so clearly, dear God, I wish I could go back and be a kid again and start over and do it better. I wish I could get a new start. I didn't know I could at that time. But years later, I heard what you heard this morning, and that is that Jesus could give you a new start. I stand here and tell you now, now after all these years, that new start's still working. And I still have that peace that I got when I received the Lord Jesus as my Savior. 62, 63 years ago, I'm talking about. That's a while. I haven't used it up. I'll not use it up. It's permanent. Do you have that this morning? Do you know it? You know what I'm talking about? Oh, I hope you do. I hope you do. All right, we're going to let you be seated in the congregation, and we'll share with you here.